At this time, the recordings have begun. Thank you.
Barry, would you like a quick roll call?
Yes, please.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's vertical integration analysis sub-team, on Monday, the 3rd of May, we have Barry Cobb, Alan Greenberg, Steve Pinkos, Mike O'Connor, Roberto Gaetano. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Mike Zubke, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And I don't have any apologies noted. If I could just please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, Barry.
Hi, thank you, Lisa. Welcome all. Definitely hoping for a few more participants. And we got an echo. How's that now?
We're just looking into the echo.
Check one, two. Here we go.
I could tell
right.
Jokes.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Basically, kind of picking up where we left off last week, certainly apologize for not being able to be behind a computer and in a much more remote area. With that in mind, so we've got the matrix sent out by Mike Zubke, and of course everybody was on the call. We heard about all the different suggestions and things to carry forward. Mikey, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you first. It sounded like you said you had a couple of thoughts to pass on to this sub-team. And when you're doing that, I guess just kind of recap from the last call, we were pretty much kind of in a holding pattern awaiting the matrix to be submitted to Mikey. Most of us were flying blind with that respect, and so we didn't really have a clear direction on how we should move forward with the analysis team. We do have the matrix now, in my opinion, it's a great start. Still, my own personal opinion, I think that is the path forward for most of the analysis team effort, as opposed to creating a different framework. So I'm imagining we'll massage that one way or another to benefit the good of the whole. But at any rate, with that in mind, Mikey, why don't you go ahead and take over and fill us in what your thoughts are, and we'll get started in that way.
Okay, thanks, Barry. This is Mikey. A lot of the stuff that I was thinking about sort of came out on the call. And it seems to me that what we could do is help Mike. Well, I'm going to ping Mike at this point and see how many hours he's got free to do this stuff, because maybe we can help him more rather than less. I think as we make that matrix more granular and then get the responses back from the proposal presenters, especially that little section sort of cross-wiring the definitions in, another chunk of cross-wiring that would be interesting would be the use cases. Remember, way back in the early days, we had a series of use cases that came out. And, since the matrix is, as I think a lot of us had hoped, has become sort of the focal point, I think that what we can do with some of this stuff is just drive everything into the matrix. And that being the case, what we might want to do is break it into some chunks. And so get a fast turnaround on the scope of stuff that Mike's got in his draft, so that then proposal presenters can start filling in their columns while we work on adding things like these definition, multiple choice questions, and use cases, and criteria. So, I don't have a lot to add on top of the stuff that came out in the call, except that you know I like how things are going, and clearly there's a fair amount of urgency to get the next iteration turned around pretty quick so that we can get people, proposal advocates, filling in the columns, but also so that we can begin to start polling the larger group in the weekly polls on some of these topics. So beyond that, I haven't really thought through specifically how we would get there quickly. Sort of leave that up to all of us to sort of work through that, and that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you, Mikey. I guess this is my two cents. The matrix that we see now before us is where I was trying to head when we first met, and I sent out kind of the template. I think one of the problems that we're going to have with this matrix is filling in all of the blanks, so to speak, because each row is a particular that we're calling an item now, but it's really kind of a concept, in my opinion. How I would envision this really going forward, and I'm going to steal what you had told me a while ago, Mikey, is, you know, that somehow we almost need to create a template of what each of these items are across the spectrum. And then, as you mentioned, you know, we have the proposers or proposal teams fill in the blanks as to how they meet or not meet that concept. So, for instance, if it's an example of cross-ownership, the New Star team would come in and say, yes, we address this concept by stating that there is zero cross-ownership allowed, And then the very next one, Demand Media, would come in and say, you know, they fill in the blank. Well, we believe that it should be no greater than 15%, period. And then the MMA proposal comes in and says, well, we believe that it should be 15%, and if it goes beyond 15%, that it requires approval by ICANN. And so that literally the only blanks that would be left is the blanks where that particular proposal didn't cover that concept at all, and they would either enter none or just leave it blank. And so my only concern about where we have the matrix at now is that a lot of the row items are specific concepts that were pulled out of a proposal that, you know, perhaps, you know, as an example, row five, and I'm looking at the old one, not the revised one from the call, but it says that, you know, there's only 40% market share, not own greater than 15% interest in a registrar or registry in the same TLD. So there's only one column H that's filled in there, and I'm not sure that any of the other columns or proposals will ever fill in anything except maybe to say that, no, we don't agree. So does that make sense where I meant from a template? And then the only other thing that I would like to throw out is when we first met as a sub-team, there was our kind of agreed approach from an analysis perspective is that we needed to look at this from the lens of the stakeholders themselves in terms of analyzing these. What does it mean at the registry level? What does it mean at the registrar level? And then specifically registrant/consumer. So with that, I'll open it up. Anybody in the queue?
Yeah, it's Alan.
Go for it, Alan.
A couple of things. There are some red herrings in this, and I think at least I want to make my position clear. I don't think this matrix that we're talking about really does an analysis. What it does is provide some clarity in what the proposals are and, to the extent possible, how they relate to each other. So, you know, if proposals had varyingly 15% or 40% with the same other words around it, the substitution of N and filling in the number in the column will help to contrast
we'll show the differences and similarities between them. The issue of definitions, I don't think, is one which really is going to help our analysis. I think trying to work without them is simply working blind. That is, we can't use terms that are not defined, which mean different things to different people, unless we define them. So, yes, it's going to help, but to try to do it without it would be ludicrous. So I think this overall matrix, to the extent that we can identify differences between the various proposals, may help in the private negotiations in trying to pull them closer together. It will certainly allow us in doing any analysis of them to understand them better, you know, without reading the dozens of pages of verbiage that go along with each of them. I think we need to either add the rows of the types of things we talked about at our first meeting, that is, how is this going to impact the various constituencies. I think we need to go back to look at the charter questions and say, are there specific questions that were asked there that we need to try to summarize and identify how the various proposals address these various issues, because I think that's the bottom line of the analysis. How are people going to be impacted, and does it meet the various targets that we've been assigned by the GNSL? I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Okay. So I guess from that point, wishing there were a few others on the call. In terms of the definitions, I agree, and I think I've said this several times, that, you know, the definitions we probably should have created a long time ago. Mikey, I remember it was probably like 4 or 5 calls ago. Didn't somebody volunteer to start to gather a list of all the different definitions? And do you recall who that was and if they've actually done it or not?
I think that the staff gang was going to do that, and Margie gave me an update, but I can't remember where we're at. Mike, do you remember?
Yeah, so I'll try not to contradict whatever Margie said, because I'm not sure what it was, but you know, we as staff have drafted a set of definitions that we think make sense for a lot of the sort of jargony terms, things like what does vertical integration mean and that sort of stuff. But you know, we're not necessarily experts in that field, so what we've done is we've asked some experts to take a look at it, and we're just trying to find out what their turnaround time will be. Right now, I think that's the very state of it at this moment, that we're kind of waiting for their commitment to getting it back to us and how long it'll take.
And are these experts in ICANN or outside of ICANN, or
it wouldn't be anybody on staff, if that's what you mean.
Okay, all right.
I think it's important to remember that on some of them, and market share is perhaps the most critical one, there's not a right or wrong definition. It's just knowing which one are we talking about in any given sentence.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, we talked about that a little bit on the call today. And in the proposals where that came up, I think the only time that those words were used were by the economists. I think others have sort of described that concept, but were more explicit in it. And I think that, you know, the economists were also, but the box was, you know, the boxes for their proposals were already pretty big. But I think at least in that case, it's not hard to pull out of their proposal, you know, what they meant by that. If there are other cases, we can try to look to their proposals to understand what they meant. But I think that, part of me says, you know, it doesn't really matter what proposals said or what proposers said. What really matters is where the group decides it wants to end up. And so, people can take their own understanding of it and argue that point, as kind of the sort of the polishing of what comes out of the group later. That would be sort of my own instinct for an efficient way to sort of go forward with it, at least in the short term.
All right, great. Thank you. Here's the question I'm going to pose to you guys, and I guess it's kind of taking a step back, is what is the real goal of this sub-team? And, because we've kind of already missed some of the target dates that I had mentioned a call or two ago. Is it of the people that are on this call, is it of your opinion that the output from the analysis framework we create, whatever that is, that it answers the question of which proposal is king, or is it that that the working group satisfies the charter questions that have been set out for the working group? Because, and to be honest, and I agree with you, Alan, but at the same time, I'm confused as to what this analysis would look like by just looking at it from the lens of, you know, what does it mean to registrars, registries, and
etc. Well, I didn't think we're doing the analysis. I thought we're trying to identify the questions which the analysis will focus on.
Correct, yes. But that, you know, so again, what is that? What is the goal of that framework? Is it questions on whether the proposal satisfies all of the criteria to gain consensus, or is it the fact that the proposal meets the charter questions, as you had mentioned earlier?
Well, I think the issue of charter questions may be moot, but it's something that it's homework that we need to do along the way. And if we haven't done any of it, then our result, then our final report to council is not likely to be taken with the same level of seriousness. I mean, for instance, the charter question 5, which was agonized over so much, basically says we have to look at the public interest. It's not just who's going to make more money on these various models. And if we don't do that, no matter how flawed or difficult that process will be, then we don't have valid output coming out. We have to attempt to do that.
Let me jump in with just a bit of a refinement. Remember that we have two projects for the price of one here. We've basically got sort of a pell-mell rush with Ken Stubbs foremost in my mind. We need to very quickly see if there's anything that the group can agree on that modifies the board resolution. That's not the same as meeting all of the charter questions. Then there's a much longer process once we're sort of out of this crushing deadline to look at some of the more sweeping proposals, let's put it that way, and do that kind of analysis, the public interest analysis, the economic analysis, and so on. That's when we were at the beginning of the conversation. We talked about sort of two phases, and a lot of those broader charter questions, I think, will have to get deferred to the second phase while we scramble over the next 4 to 6 weeks to see if we can come to an agreement on a course correction for the board. So I think we can do both, but I don't think we need to have the whole framework for the whole second phase done right away. I think what the analysis team can and should do is help the group find the places where they agree and find the places where they disagree. And with the things that they agree on, we can march into Brussels and say, look, here are some things that we all agree are a good approach. And we can also tell you that there are some things that we can't reach agreement on, and those are things that we will defer to the second chunk, the longer chunk. And I think a lot of the charter questions really have to get deferred to the longer chunk. There's just not enough time to do much there. And at the same time, I think what that means is that the changes that we propose to the board resolution are fairly incremental. I don't think that we can for example, for the folks who are proposing completely no limits vertical integration, that's probably too big a step to take in phase one, because it would just be too hard to bring the whole group there. But I don't think we take that off the table. We leave it for phase two. So,
can I get in?
All right. Yeah.
Please. Go for it, Al.
Okay. If you remember correctly, Mikey, I was the one on this call who brought up the issue of the two phases that we had talked about very early in the process and then passed on. You suggested I send a note to the main list with talking about what to talk about at our last meeting, and I really think you set me up, because at this meeting you said you're really interested in a minimalist two-phase approach, and the public answer, you said, well, let's just let the proposals go ahead and see where it comes, and maybe something will come out of it. And I think those two ways...
I don't know that those are contradictory.
Well, they're not if you have unlimited time. But given our time constraints, I think that they are somewhat contradictory.
At some point, you know, I've been hinting on the list, and I'm going to start hinting more and more strongly.
This wasn't really a hit on Mikey. Let me finish. I agree with you completely that the no-holds-barred vertical integration, you know, with no constraints at all, is not something that we can recommend on the short term to get us past this impediment, this roadblock we're in. And I think that's the exact issue. I think we need to look at what needs to be done so that we can go ahead with the GTLDs and meet the board's criteria. For the record, Charter Question 5 is not one I think we could ignore. I don't remember what the first four charter questions are, but 5 I know is something that the board is in fact going to look at. Are we doing things in the public interest, not just in the interest of the stakeholders who are in it as businesses. So I agree. I think we need to look at what has to be done and then what would be nice to be done. I mean, one of the reasons there's been an amazing little traffic on the list about the economist call, and I'm debating whether I should be smart enough to keep it that way or post something. That call and their paper basically said, if VeriSign applies for GTLDs, there are some constraints. Everyone else, no holds barred. And I don't think that's what the board is likely to approve at this point. Not without vast community consent.
Can you guys hear me? This is Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Richard. How's it going?
Good. Just a quick clarification there. I think the economist's report says that VeriSign can apply to be a registry, but I think your point was more specific that they couldn't be a registrar as well in their own TLD.
Right. The point I was making is anyone other than VeriSign does not have a 40 to 60% market share using their definition, and therefore there are no constraints.
Correct. But just to be clear, you. And maybe you were just using shorthand a minute ago, but you said VeriSign couldn't apply for a TLD.
No. In a no-holds-barred registrar registry, do everything rule.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, I was using shorthand. I agree with Mikey's statement that I think we need a shorthand path of where how to get to meet the board's original criteria if we're not happy with 0% that they put in their baseline. And I guess I agree with Ken that we've got to start moving towards that outcome sometime soon. And I think it's our job, this sub team's job, to try to put some structure or focus in place so that we can get there.
So I'm curious. Whatever we come up with between now and Brussels is going to be used and passed along to the board, well, the GNSO Council, then up to the board. Is the board actually going to vote on changing their resolution that they made in Nairobi, or are they just going to be more informed about the fact and not really vote on it at all?
Well, the board said that they want some answers in enough time so that it doesn't change the schedule, which we don't know. The rumor is that in Brussels we will be presented with a DAG 4 and a new timeline. And that timeline will include when is the D in DAG going to disappear, when is
right.
it going to be the production applicant guidebook, and we need to give our answers to replace the board quasi-baseline in enough time to get that approved by the community, to get it into the applicant guidebook, approved by the community so the board can vote on it and we can publish our call for proposals or whatever it is. So we don't know what that date is. The DAG or Applicant Guidebook 4 may say the target date for publishing the guidebook is July 2014, in which case we have plenty of time. If, on the other hand, it says August of this year, we don't have a lot of time.
So I think, this is Richard again, I think I agree with all that. My prediction of the timeline is that we'd be looking for a final applicant guidebook sort of in Q4 of this year. So I agree with Alan. I think we need to have input in sufficient time for that to be whatever we recommend to be considered and built into that.
I mean, if the applicant guidebook is projected much past the end of this calendar year, there is going to be such an outcry that I can't imagine that happening. It may be delayed again, but I can't imagine a date being proposed here that passes by the end of the year. So I think fourth quarter is the target that we're looking for. And when you factor in community comment periods and things like that, that gives us a month or two to come up with some proposals to meet that. Not a lot more.
That's pretty much the timeline. You know, the thought was that we would, this is Mikey again, that we would have the outlines of a proposal. Again, this is the mad scramble to meet the DAG deadline, not the longer-term view by Brussels. That we would get feedback. We wouldn't necessarily, we won't get a board vote in Brussels. That's not been scheduled and we haven't asked for it. Nor are we going to have a GNSO vote in Brussels. What we're getting in Brussels is feedback on our preliminary, I'll characterize it as incremental recommendations. And then we have basically the second half of a PDP process. We have another round of public comments and constituency statements culminating in a final report hitting the GNSO. I haven't got the dates right in front of me, but, you know, September-ish. And hitting the board, I think, in October. So it's squeaking in.
Given that there's 30-day comment periods, I think, in both of those processes.
Yeah.
Those dates may in fact be a bit late.
No, those include the comment period.
Okay.
I've built those in. Because you're right. There's a 30-day comment period between the GNSO and the board.
And I believe there has to be a 30-day comment period from the time the working group publishes a report before the GNSO can consider voting on it, I think.
So the thought is that we're going to be going to Brussels with one of several outcomes. One outcome is, nope, we can't come to agreement at all. Another outcome is we can come to agreement on these things, and these are the things that we want feedback on. And if we get a nod from the GNSO, the board, and the community in Brussels, then we'll nail down the details on those fairly quickly after Brussels, basically in July, and get out to public comments on it. The rest is public comment lead time. So we don't have very much time. And basically, the framework is starting to evolve out of Mike's matrix. What you heard on the call, or at least what I heard on the call today, was a willingness on the part of proposal advocates to run through a second version of the matrix, indicate which parts they may not have commented on in their proposal, but which they agree with the goal that within, you know, I would really like to see that revised matrix out and back by next Monday's call so that we can get a sense of at least where the proposers are at and see if we've got some areas, some broad areas of consensus or not. If we don't, then I think we've got a pretty tough row to hoe to get to much before Brussels. But I think that what we're going to see is a fair amount of consensus.
This is Richard again. So, yeah. I've already sort of, maybe some others have done this as well, but I've sort of already started filling out the matrix on my understanding of the different proposals. And I think there is areas of broad agreement. I think there's agreement on, generally speaking, the use of registrars on equivalent access basis. I think there's broad agreement conceptually to all of the exceptions. You know, what we don't have clearly is consensus on the fundamental question, which is absent exceptions, the cross-ownership. But there are lots of little areas where we do have, in my opinion, we're going to find consensus.
And so, you know, I think what this gets down to is sort of the art of the possible. And I think that in a way, I've put the analysis team in a box. I am perfectly cheerful to admit that, because I sort of came up with this idea sort of the same way that I came up with everything about the structure of this process. It's not fully baked. And what I'm doing is sort of trying lots and lots of different things and keeping my fingers crossed that some of them will work. And you know, I really just don't know which of these things will work. But my hope is that what we will see is some areas of agreement. Now, to the public interest issue, I think that's a very tasty conversation to have, and I would love to explore sort of how we could do that at the same time that we're watching the group come to consensus. Because I think if we could do that, then at the end we would be able to walk into Brussels and say, look, we agreed on all this stuff, and no, this isn't an exhaustive analysis, but at least our first cut at a review from the perspective of public interest doesn't show any red flags. I think that would be a very compelling.
Yeah, Mikey, it's Alan. Two thoughts. In trying to come to closure on the overall matrix, I think one of the approaches you may want to think about asking is, in addition to asking, you know, the various proposers, do you agree about a specific issue, is asking the perhaps slightly lower threshold of can you live with.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
You know, because there are certain ones where, you know, I can imagine Eric, you know, saying he sees absolutely no need for such and such. But he might not.
To show.
But he might not. You know, he might say it won't do any harm. I don't see the need, but it won't do any harm.
Right.
And that might help bring closure on some of the issues.
Right.
On the issue of the public interest, there is no metric. There is no gold standard that we can use other than after the fact hindsight. And even then, one could mold that to the way one wants it. I think we need to have the discussion on whether one of the litmus tests we use is for a proposal to be against the public interest, do we need to be able to demonstrate that there will be harm, or do we use the reverse test of demonstrate that there won't be harm?
Or describe the good.
Well, yeah, certainly describe the good, but a lot of the discussion has focused around around the potential for harm, the uncertainty, you know, the inability to get our crystal balls tuned well enough. And so, you know, from my perspective, I don't want to have to demonstrate why proposal X will cause harm. I want to be convinced by the proposer that it will not cause harm. Now, not everyone is going to agree on that position, but I think it's important that the group in general understand which of those tests are we going to be using. Otherwise, I think we will get nowhere. Now, we may not agree on it, but I think we got to get that on the table.
Yeah, I think that's a good discussion, and I think that if we could drive that one to ground this week, that would be a huge benefit to the proposers, because that would give them something that then they could go off and chew on as well. I have only one other, you know, when you said, can you live with it, Alan?
Yeah.
I love that, but we have to come up with a different phrase, because I tried that out on somebody and I got beat up. I don't know what the phrase is. That's what I would use.
Mikey, that happens to all visionaries. and potential gods.
Yeah, great. I'll stick with visionary. I don't know about the potential gods. It's pretty dumb.
So it's a good sign you're onto something if there are people who want to beat you up over it.
Anyway, if we could come up with something besides can you live with it, I'd love that.
Why did they beat you up? I'm curious, because
I like
that tone of I don't advocate it, I don't support it, but I can live with it.
Yeah. I can't remember the context, but I think it was from somebody, you know, outside the U.S. for which that colloquial phrase didn't have any meaning.
Oh, okay.
And so we need a phrase that's not quite so colloquial.
If you remember where they're from, it might help.
Yeah, I can't. Well, the river of news goes by too fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, to sort of put a wrapper around this chunk of the conversation, I think that what we do is we let Michael charge ahead with revisions to the matrix quickly, and we try to get the proposers filling in the blanks, and anybody else who wants to, for that matter.
Okay.
And this group works on the public interest puzzler that you put out there.
Yeah. I mean, just for the record, I would not push people for every proposer to fill in every line. I think blank spaces are going to be a lot easier to digest than the subtleties they may put in if they have to fill in every line. You know, I think the differences between the proposals are as important as the similarities. So, a sparse matrix may well be better than one that's completely filled in.
Yeah, although I think I want to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Hey, this is Mike. If I could just jump in, I think I'm hearing something in what Alan's saying that is really resonating for me, and it's something that I've been kind of experiencing over the last 2 weeks, and that asking the proposers to sort of take on the next step here might actually be asking them to carry, you know, more than their share. It's almost like asking them to do the evaluation of everybody else's proposal by, you know, continuing to say, well, I sort of agree with this other person's concept, or at least I could live with it. I think that, the people who put up proposals aren't necessarily all of the viewpoints. They're just the people who, you know, had the time and willingness to put in a proposal, and I wonder if, maybe by sort of focusing on having them continue to take the next step and the next step of sort of refining the discussion, maybe that's, for one, kind of unfairly burdening them, but also maybe it's sort of stifling the discussion a little bit. It seems to me that maybe a next step could be that we take these elements that we've got now and come up with sort of a better way to present them to people as, alternatives. And, regardless of whether particular proposers would agree with them or not, if we just go forward and say, okay, we've got, two kind of variations. So, for example, today, one of the issues was raised with lines 8 and 9, whether or not they should contain the words or control. you know, maybe we present these things as kind of options, and we say to the group, provide your feedback. I think that the group is potentially, you know, more representative of the larger universe than the just the people who put in proposals. And you know, as staff, you know, I'm happy to, you know, go in whatever direction you want me to you want me to take. But I, you know, what I'm kind of finding is the people who put in proposals don't necessarily have the time or the desire or whatever it is to, you know, to continue to do follow-up work in this kind of evaluation of others and sort of the critique of the process.
Yeah, and the other half, other aspect of that, perhaps with the same net result, is you have some proposals which are really on different sides of the world, and you know, to ask those proposers to evaluate their counterpart, not counterpart, their opposite extreme, I don't think has a lot of merit. I mean, you know, their recommendation is don't listen to them, listen to me, and I'm not sure you need to go into a lot of more detail.
I guess I wasn't, this is Mikey again, I guess I wasn't thinking that people would evaluate the other proposals. I was just thinking, especially towards the top of the call, several people said, well, I just didn't talk about that, but I could agree with that. And so I guess what I was hoping is to go through one more time with the proposers and just say, okay, take a look at this whole list and let us know which of these things would have fit in your proposal had you thought of it, but not necessarily to get them to comment on everything. I agree that that's I'm just trying to broaden the agreement base. I'm not really trying to broaden.
Yeah, so I think that makes some sense. It's just that, you know, we're sort of elevating the people who put forward proposals as being kind of like the Chamber of Elders or something. You know, we say, well, you know, since you did this first step, let's find their agreement. But really, you know, at least in my mind, it's not as material whether there's agreement among the proposers as whether there's agreement among the people in the group. And I think that we could, you know, get to that point without necessarily having to spend a rotation on figuring out whether there's agreement among the proposers.
What about, do you think we could get to the point where we could poll everybody on Friday?
I don't think we could have a good poll by Friday. You know, I mean, I think, so what, you know, what I'm kind of thinking is, you know, we've got in this document sections that are kind of headed by these lines with blue words, and so we kind of come up with, you know, maybe, so this first section, I see there are 13 lines. Maybe we could come up with three or four questions where we find the stuff that sort of has things that are kind of in common or common themes, and we say, all right, so among these five that all have the same theme, let's pick out, you know, pick the one that you find the most agreeable, or maybe we even kind of collapse them and say, well, if we take out things like numbers, would you agree to this if you could fill in your own number, and what number would you put? And I think that, you know, we could come up with some pretty smart questions that make this a lot less daunting for people to try to evaluate, but I'm just a little bit afraid of trying to commit to doing that by Friday. I think that doing it thoughtfully requires thought, and that requires a little bit of time.
The difficulty we face is that, unfortunately, they're not making any extra time for us. And so if there was a way to hack something out,
I think this was I mean, we cranked this out, and I would really, you know, I would really like to do
it. I thought
it
was fabulous. You know.
So, you know, I just would like to have something useful to people. I'm just afraid that, you know, I can come up with something. I mean, I think this is a fair summary of the proposals. It's not that it's not good. It's just that this was an attempt to just get everything crammed into a document, and, you know, we did that pretty quick. But I would like to, you know, I think that we could, and I think this is the group that could, you know, if there are people who have got time to put some thought into it, this is the group of people who I think, you know, have a good thought about ways to compare different concepts and how could we do that. And you know, I guess I'm not entirely comfortable being the only one to do it, and so I think that it just takes time. I think that's kind of the challenge, and I know that there's a lot of time pressure, but you know, we can put out a poll that doesn't really give us a lot of good result, or, you know, kind of, you know, maybe might take some temperatures, but I don't think that it'll, I don't think it'll necessarily push us to the next step of really seriously saying which of these, you know, is going to be the winner.
Can we do the mythical man month game and divide the baby into four chunks and set four women on the job and see if we could get it done in a week? I mean, could we break the list into pieces and each of us take a piece and come back together in a day or two and see what we've got? That sort of approach? I share Ken's urgency problem. I mean, you know, let's
talk about the urgency for a moment. I'm chairing another PDP, which has a requirement that we produce a report prior to Brussels, or basically fold up shop and say we're not doing anything. And it's going to be really hard, but I think what's absolutely necessary is to put some realistic targets on it, to keep on pretending that in the next 4 days we're going to do some amazing chunk of work that is not practical. I think just ends up losing a good part of a week instead of making good use of those 4 days or whatever the things are. So I think we need to put a timeline in for what the deadline is for getting that report mailed out prior to Brussels, which I assume is somewhere around the first week in June, and start working backwards for that and figure out what we need to do. And I think that will end up dictating, you know, the some of the questions on, you know, are we trying to do everything or are we taking a minimalist approach, and you know, what can we really realistically do in that time frame? There's only 4 more weeks left.
Well, you know, the approach that we're working on right now is that the matrix is basically our primary work product, and that we'll take a snapshot of it at whatever point in time we're asked for it. And that the closer we can drive people to agreement in that context, the better. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, the expectation is not that we're going to write a report, per se. Because
no, I was giving
Brussels.
I was giving my half
right.
of the problem where I have to write a report. But
yeah, no,
but
I
we're trying to come up with some level of closure, or at least comprehension by Brussels.
Yeah, and so basically I'm driving a pace that says, look, we need a substantial step forward every week. And as long as we make a substantial step forward every week, we're okay. But I don't want to lose a whole week, and that, you know, that's what I'm starting to hear in this call. And that makes me cranky. I don't want to do that. So I'm looking for ways that we can move the ball forward a substantial way this week. And I sort of set the stage for that on the call that said, look, you know, if at a minimum what we can do is drive a bunch of changes into the matrix and get the matrix back out to the proposers. I'm going to leave the burden of work on the proposers versus everybody else issue for another time. They seem to cheerfully work very hard, and they're doing most of the work anyway, so I'm going to keep leaning on them. But at a minimum, I think we've got to get that back to people.
This is Barry.
You know, one short to-do item to the matrix is I think we need to clean up the proposers' columns. So, for instance, column Delta is the original New Star agreement. I think that one can be sunset because it's now the JN squared proposal. So there's a couple of the Salop and Wright. I'm not sure we need that because that's not a formal proposal that we're submitting forward, even though some of their concepts are valid. But the other point I'd like to make is I agree with kind of what you were starting to say, Mikey, about putting the work on the proposers. Most of these groups stand to gain and or lose money depending on the outcome of these proposals. So I don't have a problem necessarily of continually to put the workload back on them. And then the last point, and I thought I had the same opinion as you did, Mikey, that literally each proposal group would start going from top to bottom on this list and just fill out their own column and not necessarily worry about the other columns. But, you know, again, as they start on row one, and which is in the realm of ownership restrictions, and that they more or less fill out each field as to how their proposal meets or doesn't meet that particular item, and not necessarily defined agreement. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, one way to do this is to basically scrub through the matrix as it stands, taking the points that were made on the call and sort of working them into a next iteration, and then handing it out to the proposers with one column. And basically what we could do is we could hand it out to everybody with one column. We could publish it to the list and say, hey, you proposers, please, you send back one. But anybody else who wants to send one back, you can too.
Right, because I think where we kind of shot ourselves in the foot is we didn't have a template to give the proposal teams to choose from to standardize these. And so now we're trying to make up for lost time to standardize them in a way so that we can compare them to find those agreements and disagreements. Because I know by reading the proposals themselves, and certainly Mike will probably attest to this, is that, you know, there's not one of them that are alike by any stretch of the imagination. And where there is some likeness is only where they agree on a few of these principles or items that we've laid out here. Hence why, you know, I haven't run the numbers, but, you know, there's probably 60 to 70% blanks here, so to speak. And, again, I'll kind of go back to what I was saying. For us to really be able to use this matrix, most of these cells need to be filled out one way or another, and or if that particular item wasn't addressed, then, again, it's not applicable. They didn't think about it.
Yeah, and I think that what happens is that some of them, well, I would guess that almost all the proposers would have opinions about the things that they hadn't thought of. And so we might get a much denser response the second time.
I don't really think there's that many things they haven't thought of. There are certainly are occasions of that. In most cases, there are simply different approaches to doing something.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think that what we're trying to do is drive them towards agreement. And, you know, I'm looking for a mechanism to keep doing that at least once a week.
As an example, though, row 17, registry may register single registrant TLDs through an ICANN-accredited registrar. You know, I mean, that's a very cut-and-dry example across all of the proposals as to whether they would allow it or they wouldn't allow it for these specific reasons. And so there shouldn't be any reason why none of them should be able to fill that whole row in. And then from there, again, once we've got them filled out, then we can say, oh, yes, very easily 5 of the 10 think that they should be able to allow single registrant TLDs. The other 5 don't. And we just keep working through that row by row by row. But because certainly within this team and or Mike continuing to go on his own, we'll never get this filled out in time. That's why we do have to offload filling in the blanks to those proposers.
Right.
Not posers.
I guess I feel that in some cases the filling in the blanks will not help a lot. I mean, in the example you just raised, some of the proposals say that for, you know, whether it's single registrant, TLDs, or I don't remember the exact buzzwords, where effectively there are only going to be a dozen subdomains or a half dozen or 50, it is not worth the registry implementing the full EPP protocol when it's not going to be which would be necessary to go to other registrars. So their answer is going to be sometimes. Depends which registries we're talking about. And I just don't think that will fill in the box, but I don't think it's going to be helpful.
I think we figure that out after we see it. You may be right, but again, it's kind of a matter of keeping the pace. And if next time we get a whole bunch of boxes filled out and we're puzzled by it, so be it. But
again, we got to look at the end product of this matrix. You know, and let's forget the analysis stuff and all of that. But when it comes down to finding consensus on these varying concepts, if you look at it from a row perspective, and let's say row 16 is the most thought about and all-encompassing principle or concept, it's going to take 8 out of 10 proposals to say, yes, we agree with that, to find consensus on that particular concept. And so what we'll ultimately wind up with is a basket of concepts where 8 or more of the proposals agreed to those, and then that's what we're going to be able to move forward with. And all the others that are 50-50 or less, or whatever those numbers would be, are going to be saved for phase two or whatever, right?
Right. And I think that it's important for people to see that early rather than late. Because, when people see stuff close to agreement, then those things tend to flow towards agreement. And when they see deep division, that's also very helpful information for them. So, one approach, Barry, if you're just sitting there killing a lot of time in Texas, but, are you like an airplane pilot where most of the time it's acute boredom punctuated by moments of stark terror, or are you pretty busy there?
Fairly busy. I'm balancing RN and driving the Stasi duties and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Not to mention the other working groups, but...
I guess what I was thinking is that on this particular week, I'd be willing to grind in some analysis time because, I really think getting this list spruced up and back out to people in a big hurry is really important.
I've got time on Wednesday and Thursday. We don't have any appointments scheduled then outside of... I don't have anything scheduled on Wednesday if you want to set up time. Tomorrow, I'm dead.
Yeah, I'm dead. Well, actually, I'm dead tomorrow and Wednesday morning and into the afternoon Wednesday because I'm moving my dad. But Thursday's good. I can do stuff on Thursday.
Outside of the ZFA call, I'm good on Thursday, too.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
So in terms, because, I like the approach of cleaning up column C so that it's kind of like what we were doing by removing the specific percentage amounts and putting in N% or whatever, and then we leave it up to the proposal team to fill in the blank of what their idea is around that particular concept. But we clean up column C, and then we make it a template so that column D is basically blank, and then we send it out to each of the latest and greatest proposers. Again, like the original New Star and original Nevitt, those are sunset. They've got a combined deal. Demand Media is still up. Core, MMA, the newer one, the revised one, PIR, Buckingham, although I didn't really think that was a full-blown proposal. Affilius, and then the registrar kind of group, and then GoDaddy's. And I think there's another one that's coming down the pike here pretty soon. But anyway, I like the idea of just sending out a blank column and having those proposer guys and gals fill in what they think and how they think their actual proposal addresses this particular concept. And then I'll volunteer that once we get them, that they can all send them to me or Mike or whichever or both of us, and then we combine it back into one big spreadsheet. And then from there, we can divvy apart maybe the sections to whoever and say, all right, we're, with regard to Section 1, which talks about the ownership aspects, that little group will go and massage through all of the data around ownership and basically highlight in green which ones are, where there's agreement with, and red where things are starting to are falling apart and we'll probably never get agreement on.
Does that sound acceptable?
Is that something people can live with?
I love that. We just need a different version of that phrase. That's all. I love that phrase.
Because, to be honest, outside of continuing forward with this matrix, I'm at a loss visually as to where the real analysis comes in. To me, this is the analysis, and we've talked about the consumer interest or harms. And to be quite honest, when we first started the sub-team, that was my intent of the last field I had down there to list the consumer harms. And, Alan, you kind of you had piped in and said that we wouldn't be able to get that stuff. But that was my original intent, was to make sure that, you know, that being the most important one, that we start to address it. And then I'll be brutally, personally honest, and this is my own opinion, I haven't heard one thing to date outside of, with the exception of an existing large TLD where they have market dominance or market power, where the consumer is ever going to be harmed in any of this. When I first went into this pre-Nairobi, I guess I kind of took that for granted, but now that we've opened up with some of the different business models that exist out there or going to exist, whether they be the not-for-profit type business models or the brand type of business models or the generic business models or the small TLDs, I'm kind of like, I think what Jeff Eckhouse has been talking about is he wants to see a list of where these harms are, and I don't see any, and perhaps I'm just still new to all of this, but I'm having a hard time finding any.
So I guess I address that in saying it comes down to two camps of those who believe you have to demonstrate harms or those who believe you should be demonstrating that you will not harm.
Right. Right. I agree. So action items. Mikey and I meet on Thursday. I'll send out meeting minutes for this. We're already 10 minutes over. Set out meeting minutes. We'll set up a time for Thursday. How about right after the ZFA call we get started? Mikey? And anybody else that's listening to this is welcome to join. I'll try getting another phone line that we can get set up if we get more interest in this.
I'm sorry, when did you say that was?
Thursday.
It gets over at 11:30 Central, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. Anybody in Europe on this call that wants to join? If it's a U.S.-centric call, those are the key times. So it's basically Thursday afternoon, U.S.
So I'll send out an email here after we get done with this asking for interest. Try to set up the time on Thursday. I envision us Thursday basically going down question 1 through 37 or whatever number it is, or 67, whatever it is way down there, and trying to generalize them somewhat or modify them to meet our need, and I'm not exactly sure what that is yet. and we basically go to print with a template and send it out Friday to all the proposal teams or to the entire list. Here's the template. Each proposal team, fill in the blanks the best you can by X date. We'll compile all the data back into one sheet. Hopefully by, you know, mid-Wednesday of next week. I don't think we would be able to get their responses in before next Monday's call.
Oh, I bet we can.
Well, we can try.
I mean, you know, if we can get them back in Excel. Yeah, I mean, if we can get them back in Excel, I can smack them together on Sunday afternoon for the Monday call. I really want to keep marching on those weekly fence posts if we can.
Okay, and then the second action item is for you, Mike Z, is to find out about the definitions and when we can, if we can at least get the starter list, I think it would be good to include in the template, and we'll just put the asterisk caveat that, you know, we're still working on finalizing these decisions, but, you know, these are the kinds of terms that you should be aware of as you're filling out your specific column.
All right, thanks.
So that's kind of all I have for now. Any parting thoughts? Alan?
Nope, not at the moment.
Mikey?
I'm loving it. Thanks, man.
Mike Z?
Nothing here. Thank you.
And Richard Tindall, if you're still with us. He probably had to drop, sound like he was in an airport.
Richard may have dropped. This is Steve.
Roberto, are you still on the call?
I don't think so. It's Steve Pinkos. I've just been...
Roberto is connected as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so Steve, you have any... I haven't heard you...
No additional comments. Sounds like a plan. I mean, obviously, everyone knows the pressures and time constraints. So I didn't want to, you know, add to that feeling of doomsday coming upon us. But rather, I look at it the other way, that people recognize we have time constraints and looking for ways to deal with that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right, great. Well, I think that's all we have for now. I'll send out meeting minutes and stuff this evening, and for those that care to join on Thursday, we'll meet then, and I'll send out call details and that kind of stuff.
Thanks to everyone.
All right, take care, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
Great. Thank you, Gifa.
Thank you, Sean. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Enjoy your evening.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.